The Rosicrucian movement is a mystical fraternity, which by necessity operated in secret for much of its existence. It claims that its roots originated in ancient Egypt, from the time of Pharaoh Thutmose III, who organized the first esoteric school of initiates, founded upon principles similar to those perpetuated today. Some modern researchers, however, assume that the Rosicrucian movement originated with a group of German Protestants between 1607 and 1616, when three anonymous documents were published in Europe. They were called Fama Fraternitatis Rosacrucis, Confessio Fraternitatis, and the Chimical Wedding of Christian Rosenkreutz Anno 1459. The Rosicrucians believe that it is not only possible, but essential to personally know through direct experience the source of all being, that is God. Vegetarianism is considered a very important part of the evolution of the individual, and is justified on scientific, occult, and ethical terms. Rosicrucians are seen as sharing ancient knowledge with the purpose of manifesting an awakening from the intellect to a mystical consciousness or enlightenment. We invite you today to hear the sage teachings from The Secret Doctrine of the Rosicrucians. In another part of his book, Dr. Buck gives the following general characteristics of the special type of experiences recorded by him in the book.
I have, in the last 3 years, collected 23 cases of this so-called cosmic consciousness. In each case, the onset or incoming of the new faculty is always sudden, instantaneous. Among the unusual feelings the mind experiences is a sudden sense of being immersed in flame or in a brilliant light. This occurs entirely without worrying or outward cause, and may occur at noonday or in the middle of the night, and the person at first may feel that he is becoming insane. Along with these feelings comes a sense of immortality, not merely a feeling of certainty that there is a future life, that would be a small matter, but a pronounced consciousness that the life now being lived is eternal, death being seen as a trivial incident which does not affect its continuity. Further, there is an annihilation of the sense of sin and an intellectual competency, not simply surpassing the old plane, but on an entirely new and higher plane.
The cosmic conscious race would not be the race that exists today, and more than the present is the same race that existed prior to the evolution of self-consciousness. A new race is being born from us, and this new race will in the near future possess the earth.
Emerson, in his wonderful essay on the Oversoul, clearly indicates his knowledge of the experiences mentioned herein in connection with what has been called cosmic consciousness. The following quotations therefrom will serve to disclose his general thought on the subject. Always, I believe, by the necessity of our constitution, a certain enthusiasm attends the individual's consciousness of that divine presence. The character and duration of this enthusiasm varies with the state of the individual, from an ecstasy and trance and prophetic inspiration, which is its rarer appearance, to the faintest glow of virtuous emotion, in which form it warms like our household fires all the families and associations of men and makes society possible.
A certain tendency to insanity has always attended the opening of the religious sense in men, as if blasted with excess of light. The trances of Socrates, the union of Plotinus, the vision of Porphyry, the conversion of Paul, the aurora of Behmen, and the convulsions of George Fox and his Quakers, the illumination of Swedenborg are of this kind. What was in the case of these remarkable persons a ravishment has in innumerable instances in common life been exhibited in a less striking manner. Everywhere the history of religion betrays a tendency to enthusiasm. The rapture of the Moravian and the Quietist, the opening of the internal sense of the word in the language of the New Jerusalem Church, the revival of the Calvinistic churches, the experiences of the Methodists are varying forms of that shudder of awe and delight with which the individual soul always mingles with the universal soul. The nature of these revelations is always the same. They are perceptions of the absolute law. They are solutions of the soul's own questions. The soul answers never by words, but by the thing itself that is inquired after.
We live in succession, in division, in parts, in particles. Meantime, within man is the soul of the whole, the wise silence, the universal beauty to which every part and particle is equally related, the eternal one. And this deep power in which we exist and whose beatitude is all accessible to us is not only self-sufficing and perfect in every hour, but the act of seeing and the thing seen, the seer and the spectacle, the subject and the object are one. We see the world piece by piece, as the sun and moon, the animal, the tree, but the whole, of which these are the shining parts, is the soul. It is only by the vision of that wisdom that the horoscope of the ages can be read, and it is only by falling back on our better thoughts, by yielding to the spirit of prophecy, which is innate in every man, that we can know what it saith. Every man's words, who speaks from that life, must sound vain to those who do not dwell in the same thought on their own part. I dare not speak for it. My words do not carry its august sense. They fall short and cold. Only itself can inspire whom it will, and behold, their speech shall be lyrical and sweet, and universal as the rising of the wind. Yet I desire, even by profane words, if sacred I may not use, to indicate the heaven of this deity, and to report what hints I have collected of the transcendent simplicity and energy of the highest law.
So such are the general reports of the nature and character of these glimpses of this universal consciousness which men here and there have experienced in all times. Let us now consider the powers kindled in those to whom glimpses or more of this consciousness has come. For an increase in knowing always brings with it an increase in power, according to the law of cause and effect.
In the first place, the possession by an individual of even a faint dawn of this universal consciousness, by whatever name it may be known, endows him with a certain in-touchness with all the rest of life. By a subtle intuition he may, under favorable circumstances, speak, write, paint, act, or produce music representing phase of vital, mental, and emotional activity transcending any actual experience on his own part. Such an individual becomes en rapport with or in tune with the manifold variety of living forms and is able to produce a representation thereof through his own expression. This is the secret of the genius of great artists, writers, musicians, poets, and others who express through their own respective mediums or vehicles the messages they receive from the other forms of life with which they are connected by subtle filaments of unity. Such a one can enter into, in imagination, the life experiences of any and all forms of life, and to then represent them in visible or audible form in a degree depending on their own development.
Moreover, such individuals are universal in their sympathies and can feel with any form of life with which they come in contact, and as a consequence of the latter, they tend to inspire in other persons and living creatures a liking, fellowship and understanding. Many of the great illumined souls of the race, having this consciousness in at least some degree, find themselves at home with all manners and conditions of mankind, and in many cases with the lower life forms as well.
Sympathy has been defined as a fellow feeling, and it may be seen at once that when one has a feeling of fellowship with all life, and such individuals have this to some degree, then there are created certain bonds and links of sympathy and unity which serve to unite the individual more or less strongly to all living things. In the case of the great teachers of the race, such as the founders of the great religions and similar souls, we find that universal sympathy with and understanding of all life, which sets such individuals apart as marked and distinguished men, and imparts to them a universality which makes them citizens of all countries and dwellers in all time.
Again, we find that in the case of many individuals of this type, there exists a certain power of attraction for other forms of life and things, which enables them to attract to themselves those conditions, environments, and persons best adapted to their well-being and happiness, and which also gives them certain so-called miraculous powers over nature. He who is consciously identical with nature is able to work miracles with nature. The above is a strong hint to those who are prepared to hear and understand the truth concerning certain phases of life and nature.
What we have said so far in our consideration of the individuals manifesting flashes or glimpses of this phase of consciousness applies in a much greater degree to those who have penetrated fully into the higher sub-planes of this great plane of consciousness. On this planet and on others dwell beings so fully awakened and unfolded in this phase of consciousness that they are as supernatural beings to the ordinary human being. Many of such beings are performing important offices in the unfoldment of the race and the betterment of mankind. Many of these people have been regarded as angels or demigods by ordinary people with whom they have come in contact in the past, and many of them are the invisible helpers of whose presence many of the race have been made aware by actual experiences.
7. The plane of the consciousness of the gods. If, as we have seen, it is most difficult to speak in understandable terms concerning the phases of life and activity on the last mentioned plane of consciousness, what must be the difficulty of even hinting at the life and activities of the highest plane of all, the plane of the consciousness of the gods?
On this highest of all planes of consciousness, however, dwells beings so high in the scale of knowledge, power, life, and bliss that even the imagination of the advanced student or teacher can scarcely grasp the idea. This is the plane of the gods, in verity, of being so far advanced that they are practically akin to the conception of the gods created by man to account for the universe and to serve as objects of worship.
On this plane are personal gods. Many of them, but none of them alone, may be regarded as God, in the sense of the eternal parent or infinite reality. For even the highest of them have their limitations and restrictions, and all are but manifestations of the infinite unmanifest. Each of these exalted beings has had its beginning or birth in manifestation, and each will finally have its ending and disappearance into the infinite unmanifest, where all sense of separateness and personality will disappear.
The highest authorities inform us that the characteristic element of this highest form of all consciousness is the conscious realization of the individual that he is identical with the infinite and is only apparently separated therefrom by the most tenuous and subtle veil of illusion.
Strange as it may appear to one not acquainted with the subject, glimpses and flashes of this consciousness in rare instances filter down into the consciousness of individuals on this earth at the present time, and have done so in the past. Many of the brave souls and keen minds of the illumined have actually pierced the veil of this plane, and have been almost blinded by the light that has flashed upon them.
The consideration of this plane of consciousness must be closed here, for reasons which the advanced occultist will at once realize and which the less advanced student must be told are adequate. Many not prepared for the full light must be protected from spiritual and mental blindness by being exposed to rays before they have become accustomed to the lesser lights of the truth. Rest assured, however, O student, that when your eyes are ready to gaze upon the sacred flame, it will no longer be hidden from you.
The Truth in Symbols. There are certain truths which cannot be well expressed in words, but which may be at least partially expressed in symbols. To those who feel a desire to penetrate rather more deep into the mystery of the three higher planes of consciousness, we call attention to the symbol accompanying this particular chapter of this book. There is a wealth of knowledge and important information hidden in this symbol, undiscoverable to the many, but at least partially discoverable by the few. To the few, we offer the following suggestions concerning this symbol.
Your attention is called to the fact that each circle in the symbol is called to and blended with the one on either side of it. Accordingly, in the circular extent of each circle, there is to be found four different spaces or regions as follows. 1. Its own unblended space or region. 2. The space or region in which its own space or region is blended with that of one of the neighboring circles, which constitutes a shield-shaped space. 3. The space or region in which its own space or region is blended with that of the other neighboring circle, constituting a shield-shaped space.
And 4. The space or region in the very center of the symbol, in which the space or region of each circle is blended with that of both of the other two, thus producing a triune region. This arrangement again furnishes us with 7 distinct regions, as follows, giving each circle the name of a letter, as A, B, or C, respectively. 1. Circle A. 2. Circle B. 3. Circle C. 4. Space AB. 5. Space AC. 6. Space BC. And finally, 7. Region ABC at the center. There are thus 3 unblended areas, also 3 blended areas of 2 elements, and finally 1 blended area of 3 elements, the latter combining within itself all 3 elements in equal proportion. Let him who wishes for the light solve this riddle of the symbol. Thank you for your company for today's episode of Between Master and Disciple. Coming up next is Animal World, Our Co-Inhabitants, right after Noteworthy News. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television. May all beings be graced with celestial love.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/BMD.